Well, hello there. It's the Weekend Update. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill
Knight. Yeah, give the man a toy. No, he has that noise you hear in the background is the spring on his boom for his microphone.
And no, it was not. It was the noise that came out of the courtroom when Mershon came in.
It's enough.
It's the drums of doom, you know, because
we're going to lose our audience.
Yeah, well, I amuse myself sometimes. You know what? Hell, it's the weekend, you know.
And that's true.
If you can't have fun and make fun of the news that's out there,
boy, it's hard.
You got to do something because it's sad.
It is really so hard to be enthusiastic about what's happening in our country because we're in a bad state of affairs. We really are. I look at
how bad is it?
Well, I look at Donald Trump up in New York, and they're doing everything in their power, every little thing they can, to ruin that man's life, to get him off the stage.
Two-tier question here. Mm-hmm. Let's be honest. You know, is it necessary to get Trump back in? Is he, you know, based on everything that's out there, is he the guy?
Well, in my opinion, he is the hope for millions and millions of people. If he doesn't get in, it's going to be tough, Bill.
Yeah, I going to be tough. So, yeah, it's going to be tough. Now, the tough part of this question, there's probably others I could ask, but the tough part is, well, let me ask you this. I'll throw it to you in. Is he being treated fairly?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Most lawyers that I've seen, honest lawyers, will tell you that the system in New York City and in New York State is rigged against him. He cannot win.
Okay, disclaimer before the third question.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the answer is, don't despair, because it just means you gotta, you know, hitch up your britches and get tough.
Mm-hmm.
And fight harder, you know, for your rights. With everything going on,
yeah,
and the way that they're stacking the deck, and yes, they are desperate, mm-hmm. the left. Do you think, in your heart of hearts, Trump is going to get to cross the finish line or even compete in the election?
Wow. Honestly, let me tell you, I want him to. I desperately want him to because I think he, like I said, carries the hopes and dreams of millions of Americans. But I think that
only the percentage of them.
I think that they're out to get him, and I think they will.
Okay, you didn't answer the question.
Will he?
Yeah.
All right. Wait, Your Honor, I object. I feel like I'm in a courtroom here.
Engeron, get over here and set this guy straight.
do I think he's going to? Well, you know, let me tell you, Bill, when I see him up in Harlem, glad-handing with a bunch of enthusiastic people, but all of them strangers, I worry for him. I worry for him when he's in a crowd in New York. You know, there was a guy yesterday, you probably read this, who set himself on fire right across the street from the courthouse.
Lit himself up, yeah, because he hates Trump so much.
Yes. People say, well, why was he on Trump's side? No, he was a Biden-Sanders person, not necessarily in that order. And he was obviously a man with mental issues. You know, people don't – he also released an 8-page manifesto as to what his beliefs were and why he was going to do what he was going to do. And then on the 9th page, he put – the copyright information, Maxwell, whatever his last name was, all rights reserved.
Maxwell the idiot.
And I'm thinking to myself, wait a second, you know, Max, you're setting yourself on fire. You're not going to be around to worry about the copyright. Why are you worried about, and he put it so neatly, so it was so well done, the copyright. I thought, what's he doing? Does he think this manifesto is going to be made into a best-selling book and he's going to get residuals? By the way, the video of him setting himself on fire is on the internet. It is graphic. It is very disturbing. Even if you think you're hardened and have seen a lot of things, I think he's still alive. I think that he's still alive, but if he is, he's got to be hanging by a thread because the man was fully engulfed to a point where after like a minute and a half or 2 minutes before they got to him, his body was twitching. You know, it was like the nerves were firing, and it was an involuntary twitching. It was terribly depressing to see this, to see a man who went to such an extreme end to try to prove his point. And I don't think it, by the way, I don't think it has an effect. I don't think.
Well, it's interesting. You said that he's a little bit disturbed, you know, for what he did and how he thinks.
Yeah.
It's interesting. And, you know, when you look at the memes, you see things from the left. Well, I'm going to move out of the country. I'm going to set myself on fire. I can't live if Trump gets in one more time. I don't know what I'm going to do. So is the whole left whacked out?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm going to fix you. I'm going to kill me. What? Hello?
Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Go to Pittsburgh. Yeah, there's a particular date. You go there. They call it Light Up Night, and all the Democrats can get together.
I think they meant a different light up, Bill. Not that way.
Well, they introduced, instead of Christmas, Sparkle City or Sparkle Time, season there in Pittsburgh.
There was a time in Pittsburgh when they were trying to be politically correct, and they figured, well, we don't want to offend anybody, so we'll take the Christmas out of Christmas, and we'll make it Sparkle Season. And the people in the city went nuts. I mean, they just...
What?
They went, Pittsburgh's kind of a traditional all-American city, and they passed, after a couple of years of Sparkle Season, it was replaced by, dare I say, the holiday season, you know, by Christmas. But anyway, this guy, he did something that he shouldn't have done. He was trying to make a point that I don't think the point was made, even if Newsweek did publish the manifesto, from what I understand, on their website. I don't think it makes a hill of beans. You know, when you read this thing from a guy who committed suicide in such a brutal way, or tried to, I don't think you're reading it with an open mind. It's like, oh, this is from a guy who did such an extreme act to himself. I mean, do you know what I'm saying? It doesn't, you're not reading it objectively. You're reading it with a slanted point of view, you know?
If you listen to the left, Trump draws only the crazies, okay? You know, the crazy, wild, stupid people. He's a lefty. And, you know, I'm sitting going, I mean, I hate to say it, but, you know, before you sit there and go, ah, that guy's crazy there on the podcast, and, why don't you stop, think about what you're saying, and look at yourself in the mirror, and then start spewing out everything that you are saying, and then ask the question, who's the crazy?
I like history. I study history. Drives some people in my family nuts, because I think history is incredibly valuable. You've heard the expression, people who don't know history are doomed to repeat it, you know. There's a lot of truth to that, because someone pointed out that what we're going through right now is very similar to what happened just before the Russian Revolution, when it became a socialistic state, you know. And I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Well, here's a good point, an example. You know, history is, you know, destined to repeat itself if you don't know it. Let's say that you're going to go hiking into the woods, the deep, dark forest. Ooh. You leave markers. You mark your trail, whether it's a little carving in a tree or something there that you know that you can identify, and it's in a place that you will see it. It could be anything, a little something around tied around a branch or something, but you mark your trail. The reason for that is when it's time to turn around and go, you have a clue as to where you're going and how to get the heck back to where you came from, especially if you find that going down the trail you're going is going to lead you to nowhere. You erase history. You know, we're going to be lost in a forest that of deep, dark despair. So, yeah, when you talk about the past, well, we want to get rid of this because that was just a bad time in America. Well, why don't you leave it there so we can learn from it And so future generations can look back and go, well, that was bad. Let's not do that. No. But no, we want to get rid of it. We want to wipe out everything. Yeah, the dissenting voice that you don't like, or a voice that's out there that speaks something that you don't believe in, let's eliminate them and get rid of them. Instead of sitting down and saying, hey, you know, here's how I feel. I see how you feel. Can we come to an understanding? No, can't do that.
You asked a question. You said, do I think Trump is going to...
Oh, geez.
You asked, do I think Trump is going to make it to the election? Is he going to be... I look at some of the people who are supposedly supporters of him, who have been supporters of him in the past. They vacillate now. You know, I saw a picture of him during the jury selection, and they were quick to point out that it looked like he was falling asleep. Well, if I was sitting in a jury selection that was taking hours on end, and your lawyers were doing all of the talking, and all you were supposed to do is sit there, I think I would have a hard time staying awake too, you know?
Well, especially when you have people that come in that are supposed to be non-biased, go, oh, I hate the man, he's done this, yeah. He's done that, and not everything is true or factual, but that doesn't matter. You know, well,
he has to sit there and listen to these people.
He can't say anything. All he can do is just sit there and sit back and fold his arms and look at you. Yeah. I'd stare you down. I would stare you down and stare right into your eyes so I could see deep down into your soul, so I could look at the devil face to face, because that's what he's facing. You, my friends, are on the left. You're the devil, you know, and when you think about, you know, you attack Christianity, but then you go after you attack it. Well, you know, I'm a God-fearing person. No, the hell
right.
You're not. If you were, you would be a little bit different, because God is.
But God is not important in this new America we're living right now. You know, you talk to a lot of people who are in their early 20s, and most of them haven't been going to church on a regular basis, haven't been introduced to God. God doesn't play an important part in their life.
They would call the church indoctrination. Okay, so let's call the church indoctrination. What are you doing on the left?
I call the church education.
It is education. Yeah. But what are they doing on the left? They're trying to indoctrinate you into a political
belief. Yeah, your
system.
Your faith as being presented to you by these colleges and universities is agnostic. Or atheist, you know, they are proud to say, oh, I don't go to church anymore. I don't believe in God, you know, fantasy land. I mean, I've heard this from young people who are not paying attention.
Fantasy land. Oh, man, we're going to live in a utopia. There is no utopia.
Well, let me tell you something, Bill. The other thing is this. They have filled the movie screens and the airwaves with all of this folklore with, you know, Adventure Man or whatever, you know, Aquaman or the Wasp or Spider-Man or Superman, all these fictitious fantasy, you know, Star Wars, Star Trek. You know, in Star Wars, if you think about it, they actually created an entire religion in the movie. You had a belief system, you know, may the force be with you, not God be with you. Oh, no, don't say God be with you, because that would be traditional, but may the force be with you. You know, and do you know that I look at some people who followed those movies since the early 80s, and it's their religion. It's their belief system. They don't go to church on Sunday. They don't believe in going to mass or service or whatever. But, boy, they'll tell you who the characters were on the Star Wars movies and sets. They'll tell you what their belief system was. You know, we live in a messed up society right now. And I want to play some cuts for you, Bill. You know Jesse Kelly. Jesse Kelly is a young guy. He does podcasts and talk shows. I think that he's on the Blaze, but I could be wrong. But he is quite popular amongst people who follow this show. And he was being interviewed by Tucker, And they were talking about the border system right now and immigration and where we're at and what needs to be done. And it's a much longer interview than I have. We have about 6 minutes of it here. I broke it up into three pieces so we can talk about it. But he talks for an hour. And it's a terrific interview. Jesse Kelly with Tucker.
We're in a really bad spot, Tucker, and I don't celebrate what I'm about to say, but it is time now, not 10 years from now, not next year. It is time right now for the states, especially red states, to re-examine the nature of their relationship with the federal government, if I'm going to put it that way. And I want to be crystal clear about what I'm about to say. I do not want this country to break up, although I believe we are breaking up. I don't want anything like a war or violence. I don't want that. I don't want any individual American to do anything illegal. But red states must now, right now, begin re-examining the nature of their relationship with the federal government, because the country is being undone. The country is being destroyed now, and there's nothing that can stop or reverse this unless red states take this step. Let me explain. Sorry to filibuster on your show.
You're not filibustering at all.
Let me explain. Right now, it's not an accident, as you well know. You talk about this all the time. It's not an accident what's happening on the border. The people who lead the nation from the federal level, that's Democrat politicians, half the Republican politicians, every bureaucrat, they are encouraging flooding the border with illegals. They're encouraging it. That's just what they want. They want America full of illegals, no loyalty to America, criminals, rapists, murderers. That is what they want, because when you cause violence and chaos in a society, that's the fertile soil where communism grows. People will always turn to the government and beg them for help when that kind of societal collapse right. comes. So they know this, so they're inviting it. Well, other countries around the world are obliging, as countries always have in this situation. Hey, there's a country I don't particularly like. They have an open border. We do have this prison full of rapists. Hey guys, why don't you just move on to America? We know this is happening in countries like Venezuela, where they're emptying prisons onto the border. We don't have criminals coming here individually. We have entire criminal networks coming.
Isn't that amazing? We have entire criminal networks coming into our country right now. Not just individuals. You know, it's like whole gangs are going north into this country and being allowed in.
I gotta take my mic out of mute there.
I thought you were being very dramatically quiet there for a second.
Well, I was going to play the drums again, but we've got criminals coming in, and everything we do is to dismantle the country and help the criminals. And well, look, you know, in Colorado they banned the automatic. I was going to say assault weapons.
Yeah.
And see, that's another thing. They've taken guns
and relabeled them.
Weapons. You know, it's a violation of the Second Amendment, number one. And do you think that the criminals and the illegals, and they are illegals, not undocumented. They're undocumented illegals is what they are. Illegals should be documented. If they're here, document them and get them out of here. But do you think they're going to adhere to that? Oh, well, I guess if we're in here to do harm or we're here to do bad things, we better obey that law.
Bill, they're already taking control of the streets in some cities. I mean, you go to New York, they talk about the Venezuelan gangs who have they've stolen mopeds. And if you're walking around in Times Square and you have a nice watch on and they see it, they'll pull up to you with a gun, steal your watch and leave. And the New York police know that it's a Venezuelan street gang doing this.
Yeah, they do. They know what's going on. I mean, the only thing the Biden administration might do for the American populace is give you a white flag and a jar of Vaseline. Give us your guns.
Well,
I mean, they're bad. What's going on here? They've opened the borders, you know?
Well, Tucker and Jesse continue, and I think that their solution is a valid one.
People have to do also remember child separation policy.
That's
a basic border policy, because people grab kids who aren't theirs and act like, hey, I'm Dad Pedro, and when really he's not, he's some kind of cartel member. And so you always separate the kid and figure out, is he there with mom or dad? That's a basic border policy. Look, again, insult or don't insult. I don't give a crap if people are offended by it. The Trump administration ended that policy because of media and Democrat pressure. Democrats did a bunch of photo ops down on the border. AOC's crying at the fence. Eventually, child separation was ended. That's because of media pressure. And people in this country honestly believe there's going to be some mass deportation of 8 million people where you're rounding up entire families and shipping them back to Zimbabwe. You're outside of your mind. It'll never happen. The people have no stomach for it, and neither does the Republican Party.
So why doesn't, so you're in Texas, I think. You have a governor. He's a longtime governor. He's a Republican. His name is Greg Abbott. His state is being destroyed. And it's very obvious when you go to Texas, I've been there a lot recently, that it's already being destroyed. It just looks dirtier than it did 2 years ago, because it is. So why has he done nothing? Like, what's his excuse?
He's a Republican. That's what Republicans do. Republicans do nothing. Republicans have been in charge for I don't know how long of managing the decline. I mean, look, it's not exactly a new insult to call the Republican Party controlled opposition. But let's be frank, that's exactly what they are. Even Joseph Stalin allowed an opposition party. A lot of people don't realize this. He allowed, encouraged, and in fact funded an opposition party to give the people of the Soviet Union an illusion of choice. Oh, no, no, these guys are against me. Wow, it's pretty scary. But somehow they never end up accomplishing any of their anti-Stalin goals. We're constantly told the Republican Party is going to fight for us and protect the border, and we'll cut your taxes, and we'll be pro-life, and we'll protect the family. Yet none of these things ever seem to materialize. They all talk about it during election season. I'll build the wall. And then you get there, and you get 25 feet of wall and a bunch of excuses. Greg Abbott, that's his excuse. He's a Republican. That's what they all are. That's why I'm an anti-communist.
I have said this repeatedly on the show. Over and over again. I mean, look at the hearings we have with, like, James Comer. Bill, you and I have sat for 6 to 8 months hearing these guys step in front of the microphone saying, well, we've got Hunter Biden coming up in front of our committee this week, and we're going to do this, this, and this, and this is what's going to happen, and we're going to finally bring him to justice. Nothing happens.
Well, let me coin an old phrase to kind of just, you know, capitalize and punctuate that whole thing. You know, when you see a Republican coming out and doing something like that, yeah, we finally got them. We got them right where they want us.
Yeah, that's exactly right. We've got them right where they want us.
Yeah.
That's true. That's very true. This situation we live in right now, you got to ask yourself, because we ask it all the time, what the hell are the Republicans doing to benefit us? I hear people say over and over, and I'm sure you have too, well, we don't want to lose the majority in the House of Representatives because it's going to make a big difference. It's going to mean a lot. You know, it's not going to mean a damn thing because we're doing the bidding right now of the left. What difference does it make?
You've got an arm. You know, you really love, you know, your left arm. But you were out in the woods, and it got a cut, and it got infection, and it's gotten into the bone. It's gone septic. Now, your doctor goes, you know, you want to survive. You have to remove that arm. Oh, but you love that arm. You really want that arm. So what are you going to do? You're going to go along with it and let it just rot away and get up into the bone and kill you? Or do you have it amputated and, you know, you go forward? Same thing kind of with what's going on with the Congress. You know, we thought we had the House, the Republican House. What we have is a cancer, you know, that's just carry over from the left. It has bled through. Now, you know, what do we do?
Well,
you know,
we haven't got a lot of options right now. I think Jesse Kelly's solution is a valid one. I think if 8 to 10 states, red states on the border and around the border, were to get together and say to the federal government, enough. And if the federal government says, well, you can't do that, the state should say, no, watch us. We can. And if you come into our state and try to stop us from doing what we say is lawful in our states, then you're going to have a problem with us. You know,
is that not separating yourself from the cancer?
Well, you know, Bill, it is. And, it's, you know, now others will say that's a form of secession. I would say that's a form of keeping the country together, because they're not trying to save just the 8 states or 10 states. They're trying to save America, because what's killing America is the invasion that the federal government has been encouraging and facilitating on almost a frantic pace. It's like you think that the states come up with an answer to solve the problem, and the federal judges in those border states will step in invariably and say, no, that's against the law. You can't do that. They will block what seems to be the right thing over and over again in the name of federal law. We're being screwed right now, friends. We're being screwed by our own people, by our own government. We're being put in a situation where they're talking about, why are they doing this? It's because they want anarchy in our streets. Now, let me just talk about that for a second. We're starting to see anarchy in our streets. You're saying, what are you talking about? I point to the Golden Gate Bridge. Last week, the Golden Gate Bridge, a main artery into a big city, right? A big American city. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of anarchists, you know, and they call them Hamas protesters. Let me tell you what we don't know about them, okay? We really don't know whether they're students or whether they're illegals who have come into this country and been given a nice set of clothes and told, okay, here's what your job is right now. We're going to make you protesters, and you are going to wear these masks, because many of them wear masks, and all we want you to do is go out and chant the following phrase in English on the, you know, and they repeat the phrase over and over. We don't know that these are college, you know, on the college campuses, Columbia University, the big protests, anti-Israel protests, and everyone's saying, oh, they have a real big problem on the Columbia University campus with anti-Semitism. Well, what if I told you that the possibility of them not even being students is a real possibility? That the people who are protesting on those campuses, they may not be registered and enrolled on the campus at Columbia University. These may be outsiders agitating. But, you know, because we're not allowed to do what is lawful anymore in these big cities, like perform legal, responsible duties like being police officers, we're not told what these people are. Let me tell you, and I'll be quiet. I'm on a bit of a soapbox. I apologize. But on the Golden Gate Bridge, those protesters, right, that we just talked about, the ones who blocked the traffic for hours and kept people from going to the bathroom, going to work, going to the hospital, you know, real important stuff. Those protesters, some of them were taken into custody, and they were summarily released without charges. Without charges. Now, people walked into the Capitol on January 6th, didn't break anything, walked between the guidelines, and then walked out of the Capitol, and some of them have been in jail for 2.5 years. And tell me, who is the insurrectionist? The person who stops traffic on the Golden Gate Bridge, or the person who respectfully goes into the Capitol and waves an American flag and walks out of the Capitol? Please tell me which one is the insurrectionist. I think we've got a problem. You know, Bill, you probably read this. The guy, Benny Thompson, I think his name is, he was the head of the January 6th committee. He was the chairman of the January 6th committee. Well, he's proposed something brand new. He's put a proposal together this Friday, yesterday, to take away the Secret Service protection of President Donald Trump should he be convicted. Now, you know, any betting man will probably tell you that Donald Trump is going to be convicted of something in New York. I mean, something in New York is going to you know, fall
can
through the cracks.
Can you do that legally? Can you do that legally?
Well, I don't think he's trying to make it a law. He's trying to make this happen. Bill, they're trying, seriously, if you take the protection away from Donald Trump, you want him dead.
They want Kennedy dead, don't they?
Absolutely. And you know
what?
So
here's what my solution to that is, you know, they don't want militias, but you know what? If Trump's protection comes up, I would suggest that these groups get together and say, then we'll protect them.
Well, you know, I think, fortunately, thank God, President Trump is one of the wealthiest guys in the country. And I think that the people in
they're trying to take his money and left.
The people, I believe, will chip in for security for President Trump and his family. I don't think he'll miss a beat. I think, in all honesty, if I were on his detail, you know, and they were going to take me away from his detail, I would resign from the Secret Service and I would take a job working personally for him. I mean, that's how I strongly feel about him being protected. But they don't want to protect him. Look at, you just said it, Bill. RFK Jr., his father is murdered, assassinated, while he's running for the presidency. His uncle is murdered and assassinated while he's president. And what does this evil SOB in the White House do? He denies him Secret Service protection. Now, I'm not voting for RFK, but I think he's a decent man, and I think he deserves protection. I think he deserves to have the Secret Service watching him 24/7. But this evil SOB in the White House, this evil guy, is denying him.
Well, he's an evil guy, but there's more people pulling the strings, and they are dirty, they are rotten, and they will do anything evil. They will go as low as lower than you can possibly think they would go. I mean, you've got Mershon now. He's going, oh, well, I'm going to keep him under control. He's got a gag order. He opens his mouth, sneezes, coughs. That's a breach of his gag order. He's got to do some jail time. Oh, it's too cold for you? Sorry, buddy. Live with it. Okay. Got to go to the bathroom. You better hold it, buddy, because you did better. You know, and that sounds disgusting, but, you know, just think about it. You know, you're wearing him down purposely using the power of the DOJ and
a guy like Mershon, he deserves to be arrested and carried out in shackles. Because he's not performing as a justice. He's not performing his job as a judge. He's performing his job as an activist.
He's a jailer. And he's a jailer like, this is like Cool Hand Luke, you know, where they don't agree with you, you're going to go sit in the hole. Trump is in the hole for speaking out. And, you know, I mean, just to be crude here for a second, but, you know, they've turned down the heat on him. You know, they've shut him up. He's got to listen to everything, and it's not even fair, you know, comment against him. Oh, this person gets to weigh in on you because they hate you, and that's what we have for a jury. You know, I mean, he can't even get meal break, bathroom break, anything. And if something happens, like, well, it looks like he's tired. Oh, that's because he's a feeble old man. What happens if he goes, hey, look, really, you know, seriously, I've got to have a break, a personal break for a minute.
You know,
you have some kind of accident. Oh, he's incontinent.
I was told, we were all told, when Trump was denied the presidency in 2020, we expected some justice to prevail immediately, and it didn't happen.
I don't think there is justice.
Well, people said, people in the know supposedly said, no, the country is not awake. It doesn't know what's going on. It has to wake up, and it's going to take some time for them to wake up. It will happen, but it will happen after a lot of trial and tribulation. Well, I'm hoping that we're going through the trial and tribulation now, and that the country is starting to wake up, and then maybe if they're right, we'll see it. And something good will happen.
A lot of brilliant people have gone into the military, high ranking, low ranking, mostly a low ranking, because a lot of these so-called smart people, they have been liberally left educated. But, you know, with that said, I don't know that the cavalry is in the military. For the nation to notice, it's at what point do we hit the boiling point? And that's why they want to take away the guns, because they know that Trump's defense is you, my friend, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you, and you. hundreds of million of you. But you know what? If we lose our arms and then all of a sudden we realize that there is no Calvary, I'm the Calvary, but you gave away or they took away your rights and your right to bear arms, then all of a sudden, and I don't like the word arms, your right to bear protection.
You know, I've been asked by a lot of people, and in particular yesterday I was on a podcast and they were asking about the success of our program. And I thought for a second, you know, people don't realize that it just didn't happen. It has grown. We started out with no listeners at all. But something strange has happened over the course of the past 2.5 years, 776 episodes of our program. I mean, I think we're like close to 600 of them numbered, but we had a bunch that weren't numbered initially. And so if you add everything together, 776 episodes as of today. And all of a sudden you look on our statistics and you find out that people are listening in Russia and in Australia and in New Zealand and in Syria. We have listeners in Saudi Arabia. And you wonder, how do these people find you? But people do find you. We do. Water seeks its own level, right? And I think that that's what has made our program succeed. Now, we've told you this many times before. We don't make any money off this program. And then we have a lot of expense that Bill and I foot together. And people said, well, why don't you have commercials and clients and sponsors? Well, those are great. And if we found the right ones, we might have them. But, you know, some of them want to have editorial input, and some of them want to interfere with the message. Some of them wouldn't be a good fit into our program. If you're trying to talk serious stuff and all of a sudden you have a non-serious commercial, maybe it would be a distraction, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. Some of them, although they may 100% agree, and anybody that 100% agrees with everybody is probably a follower. You know, you need to have your own mind and go, okay, this is how I feel. I'm close to you, but, you know, I'm just saying you should form your own opinions. But a lot of advertisers would be afraid because of the blowback. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't have to worry about losing my job. Who's going to fire me from this podcast? You or me?
Yeah.
I'm gonna fire myself?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I don't have a sponsor hanging over my head going, we're going to cut your funds.
We're in a good
right
situation,
now.
Thank goodness. We don't need to worry about pleasing an employer.
Right. I mean, as far as the equipment goes, we own it.
Yeah.
As far, you know, and the internet service, we both have that independently because just like you do.
Yeah.
And the thoughts, they're ours. We don't have staff writers here gathering stuff for us. We pay attention to everything we see in the news. And, you know, if it aggravates you, well, it probably aggravates us, too. The only difference is we come on board and say, hey, here's what happened. Here's why I'm mad. I'm mad as hell, and I'm not going to take it anymore. Now, does that mean I'm going to go out and flip cars and blow things up or do stuff like that? No, I leave that to the left because that's what they do.
And what
I try to sit here and just say, hey, look, you know, wake up, folks.
And what amazes us is that if depending upon where you look for numbers and statistics, we have found tens of thousands of listeners. Most of them are streaming listeners. Streaming listeners are people who listen on like Spotify or iHeartRadio or iTunes, Amazon Music. And the difference between them and those who go to, for example, our website and listen on our website is that when you stream it, you're listening to a version of our program which has been downloaded to independent servers, and they don't really keep statistics like the ones who the people who listen on our website. On our website, we get a handle on who's going to it. On the streamers, you really never know. But what we do know is this: we have thousands of people who have found the program and who've made it successful. And we have struck a nerve. People are desperate to hear honest opinions, you know, honest news, because so much of what they hear on the big mainstream news outlets are, dare I say, a lie. And I really mean they're alive. They're not bent or warped news or massaged news. They're long beyond those nice, gentle terms and descriptives. No, no. What they are now on a lot of these big networks are paid, highly paid in some cases, liars. And they do it intentionally. And that's the difference. You know, a misinformed person is somebody who believes something which isn't right. A liar is somebody who says something they know is wrong. And a lot of them on the big networks now are liars. And that's why people are going out and trying to seek other sources. Why do you think Tucker's program is so successful? 30 million around the world listening to his program. Because they know that to the best of his ability, what he's going to give his listeners is as honest and as unvarnished as it can be. You know, people will say, well, he's a conservative. Well, everybody has an opinion. Everybody has an opinion about something. But for the most part, what he says is true. You'll listen. I'm going to play one more cut with him and Jesse All Kelly. Right. And they talk about, Bill, the fact that Trump, you know, with all of his talk about wanting to remove people back out of the country, it's not going to happen. Because we are a generous nation, and as soon as we show a video of some little child clutching his chest as mama is being dragged into a bus to be deported, as soon as we see that, that'll be the end of the deportation in this country. They'll figure something out. Anyway, here's the last segment from Jesse Kelly and Tucker Carlson. By the way, again, it's a much longer interview, and it's available on Tucker's website on X.
At what point do people who live in the state and have children in the state, grandchildren in the state, who are born in this country and don't want to see it destroyed, say, I'm getting 10 of my friends, and we're going to protect our stretch south of Carrizo Springs? Like, how long till that happens?
I understand the inclination for that. But what we're going to, like the revolution, the American Revolution. Sorry, I'm not going to get sidetracked, too sidetracked, Tucker, but the American Revolution. We like to imagine the American Revolution was just a bunch of American citizens picking up a musket, fighting against the British and creating the United States of America. We love that image in our head. And obviously a lot of that is true. But the American Revolution is not successful without state power like France stepping right. in and right. giving us critical aid. We cannot protect this nation as 10 dudes going down in the border with some plates in your flak jacket that you bought on Amazon and an AR-15. That's not going to work. It's not going to be effective because the state itself is simply going to throw you in the clink because the state is the one facilitating the invasion. When the state is the one facilitating the invasion, anyone who tries to stop it goes to prison. Look at that United States Marine Daniel Penny in New York. Kills a guy on a subway protecting women. He's going to the clink. Everyone knows he's going to get convicted. We now live in a country where the elites on the top and the streets on the bottom are sandwiching the American people in the middle, and they're attacking them from both ways. We must have some level of state power on our side. So when it comes to states like Texas and other states, what needs to happen instead of grabbing a rifle and going to the border is the American people need to start running these loser Republicans out of their state legislatures and out of their governor's mansions and out of the sheriff's office. The sheriffs are going to be critically important going forward. And I need to be clear, this is starting to happen, Tucker, slowly but surely. Texas state legislature just got put on notice. A bunch of these dorks at our state legislature got run out of the party of government in primaries because normal people are getting sick and tired of no action and they're running these people out. It's happening. It's happening slowly, maybe too slowly, too slowly when you consider the fact that the federal government is gleefully destroying this country. I haven't seen these people this happy since Pete Buttigieg and his husband took their baby home.
That's Jesse Kelly. A little bit of the interview with Tucker Carlson. But, you know, he talks about history, and it's so true. And you have to understand history to understand how to fix the present. You know, I tell people this, and I don't like history in school. No, you they teach you history so you know where you came from and you know what our forefathers and people before them did to keep their country on a sound footing. We have got to, you know, they talk about the French, the American Revolution. The French, if they didn't help us, if they didn't give us supplies, weapons, food, ships, blockades from the British, they were essential to keep the British off our doorstep many, many times. You know, even in 1812, the French were important to keep the British from really doing a full court press and retaking the country. You know, they burned the White House in 1812. So I mean, people forget that. The British burned the White House it was just a shell. They went back and rebuilt it, but the first White House, the one they built initially, that was gutted by the British. And you know, we're in a situation right now where we're on the verge of some major crises in this country.
Yeah,
I mean, we've got mobs that have come into this country that they weren't here 2 years ago, and they're here now. And we'd like to think that all these illegals are just hanging around their hotel, eating bonbons and waiting for the next check. But the fact of the matter is they're out on our streets. They're buying clothes. Yeah. They're talking to each other. They're actually communicating, and they're going to meetings. And some of them are deciding that, we're not as good a country as we thought. Maybe we should do something to turn it around. And some of these people, by the way, came into this country with the goal of bringing our country down.
I think that's the majority of them. You know, they came in. They didn't come in for the right reason to assimilate into us. And I hate the word assimilation, but that's what it is. That's what it means. Language, in some degrees or some ways, does matter. And it does matter here because we became a nation for a reason and for something. And if you want the American dream, you've got to follow the directions of what you have. You've got to follow the path, the trail to get to citizenship and understand what it is that you're really asking for. And it's not a meal ticket. It is not a golden free Willy Wonka ticket. It is something that you have to decide, well, this is where I want to be.
Hey, Bill.
All the tools are there to aspire to it.
For decades, they bragged about the fact that America was the great melting pot, meaning everyone came in from different countries and with different languages and skills, and we got into this big cauldron, and we all blended together and became one. That ain't happening no more.
No.
The flame is gone. The flame is gone. We're not melting. You know, when all of a sudden the networks have to do two sets of commercials, one in English, one in Spanish. Look at it. I think Spanish is a great language. It's just not the language of this country.
You know, you go to Mexico, turn on the TV, and you sit there and watch it in your hotel room. I don't hear any English commercials.
It's because they speak Spanish in Mexico.
Really?
Honest.
So that
they
time
speak,
that I was
Bill,
down there, that's why I had to have that little translation.
They
book.
Speak Portuguese in Brazil. They speak Italian in Italy. They speak French in France.
No, Shainola.
Honest to God. So what? But in this country, because of the left, the woke, stupid left, we are now bending over backwards to accommodate everybody, and in doing so, we accommodate nobody.
Well, I'm going to go back to something we mentioned earlier, and I'm going to ask if you are a lefty, and this should be asked of everybody on the left, because this will tell you their true colors. And, I mean, it's not going to – we already know they hate Trump, they hate you, they hate me. But the Democrats, like we mentioned earlier, are moving to strip Trump of his Secret Service protection.
Right.
Do you think that's proper? Do you, as a person, no matter how you feel about the guy, do you think that's right? Because it's on your shoulders, too, that you are equally responsible to it. Because think about it now. He was the president of the free world. That protection not only protects him from the idiot that wants to set himself on fire, you know, but it also protects him from countries that he protected us from that had foreign elements, terrorist here. And you have to remember, whatever your hate is against them, the things that he did stand for and the things that he did protect while he was in office. And if you're saying he doesn't deserve that protection, you're saying he should be dead. That is what you're saying, well, and I want an honest answer. Do you think it's right or wrong?
I mentioned this 20 minutes ago. We talked about it 20 minutes ago.
I know. That's why I brought it back up.
But I think it is important to mention it again. It's important to talk about it again because if you answered he doesn't deserve protection,
then you're a murderer.
Then you want him dead.
You're a murderer.
Because nobody in this country is more of a target, nobody, than Donald Trump. I've been told by people who are in the know that he has been the target of at least 100 failed attempts on his life since he's been president.
Oh, I think it's more than that. And you know what? And they're going, oh, he's a felon, he's this and that. You know, every stupid charge that the Democrats have brought against him, except for the Letitia thing, and that was a rigged thing, and that's in appeal, so you can't hold that, and it's not a felony and all this stuff, he's been found not guilty of. So now you're taking something that is not a crime, reweaving it, trying to turn it into a federal crime that even the left is going, this is BS, and you're doing that, and you're going to take that, a total bold-faced lie and misrepresentation of the law, and you're going to use that to take away a Secret Service, then you're compliant in this.
I got a question for you. Let's say this Mershon, this vile excuse, this poor excuse for a judge. By the way, he looks like he could be a judge. He's not a bad-looking man. He wears the robes well. He sits.
I see the devil in
him. He sits in the chair properly. He looks like a judge. He just doesn't act like a judge, okay? He just doesn't act like a judge. But let's say he decides, I'm going to put Trump in jail for violating the gag order. I'm going to do it. What does the Secret Service do? At this point, right now, they're still here. They're still protecting him. Do the Secret Service go to jail with him? Do the Secret Service have to put armed guards around the cell?
Would you, if you were a Secret Service person?
I have another question. Is he not a target just by being in one location, even if you're protecting him with the Secret Service staff? If he's in that cell, is he not a target?
Funny you should mention that. Is he not a target? Well, let's back this bus up a little bit.
I like that.
Okay, and let's just say, in general, is Trump not a target?
No, Trump is a target. He's a target every day of his life.
So he's a target even inside that courtroom with Mershon?
Yes, okay. Even in the courtroom.
Now, okay, so this guy who says that, you know, fascism and all that, and that Biden is with Trump, and Trump is with Biden. They're actually the same, the two heads of the same snake. That's what that guy believed.
I know, that guy.
Okay, so let's say, well, this guy set himself on fire. The next guy shows up with a baggy shirt, and under that shirt is enough explosives to take out three city blocks in that building and everyone in it.
No, I absolutely agree.
So this is what Mershon's creating. And this is what the Democrats are creating.
No, you know who's creating it, Bill?
The Democrats.
No, not just the Democrats, but the Supreme Court. They should come down with an emergency ruling right now saying that the judicial proceedings that are taking place during this presidential campaign are illegal and a disruption in our system and not lawful. And they should strike them all today.
But here's the problem with the Supreme Court in that. They're already targets. So if they did that, would not the left turn up the heat and point the finger at them?
What are they there for? What the hell are they there for?
Do your job or you know what? It doesn't matter what your job is or anything. America is not what it used to be. America, I just said. America, I slurred. But America is not what I grew up believing it was, is, and should be. When I was born, I think it was close to what I was taught.
We are at, I agree with Jesse Kelly in that we are at a point in our history where we haven't got a lot of road left, meaning we've run out of
road. We're at the cliff.
Okay, we've got to make some hard decisions soon. The people who have the power now, the people in the Supreme Court, quit the nonsense. Stop the nonsense and do something right now to protect us, the people. Don't rely on our legislature. They're a bunch of, it's like trying to herd a bunch of cats together, kittens together. Mm-hmm. Try doing that. I mean, but you as a Supreme Court can say, wait a second, we're passing a ruling right now. And they probably can get some kind of an emergency stay in place on all judicial proceedings until after the presidential elections. I mean, they could do it. They are the Supreme Court. Although I got to tell you something, they came out with a ruling about those college tuitions and the repayment of those college tuitions that said they're illegal. Mm-hmm. And this administration flipped them the big fickle finger, if you know what I mean. This administration said, "Oh yeah, watch this," and they flipped them the bird. So the what did the Supreme Court do? Nothing. Nothing, because when all is said and done, they want to go back to their house, and they like their $200,000 a year job, and they have a driver, and they have some protection.
Well, let me ask you a question. When somebody says that they're going to give you money, and that's a promise, you're owed money, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So all these people out there with the student loans, Biden promised them money. So now they want that money, that promise kept.
But all those people with those student loans promised to pay those student loans.
That doesn't matter anymore because Biden wiped out that promise. You know, he canceled it because he wanted to buy votes. And
the court said,
buying votes, it's the dividus.
The court said you don't have the right legally to do that.
But Joe said, watch me.
Hey, speaking of Joe rambling, Bill. He was in, I think, Pennsylvania again yesterday. And would you do me a favor if you're a Biden fan? This won't take very long. It's only a 5-second clip. I want you to listen to this and please tell us what he's saying here.
Well, instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting further products.
What?
One more time. This was, and it was a cheering moment for his audience, by the way. What did he say? I don't know. Listen, this is the President of the United States of America.
Well, instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting further products.
Okay.
Well, he said further products. But in other words, I think, if the word is that I think he was trying to say is right, that's scary. Instead of importing foreign products, he's exporting federal products.
Well,
listen to it close.
One more time.
Instead of importing foreign products, I'm exporting further products.
No, he said federal products.
Well, yeah. I mean, I know.
Bill, but then in a moment of clarity, in the same speech, right, he talks about the tax write-off that Trump initiated, the tax cuts that Trump initiated,
this,
right?
Yeah, I had to know that. Yeah.
But Biden comes out and he's going to fix those tax cuts. Listen.
And he was proud, very proud of his $2 trillion tax cut when he was president that overwhelmingly benefited the wealthy and created the biggest corporations and exploded the federal debt. I cut the federal deficit. He exploded it. By the way, there's no exaggeration here. It's going to expire. And if I'm reelected, it's going to stay expired.
You creepy old guy, you. I got to tell you something. This guy, he says with great pride, if those tax cuts expire and I'm president, they're going to stay expired.
Well, no, the cuts that Trump did, they will be expired and they'll stay expired. But the tax cuts that he's talking about, he has tax cuts, but actually it is for his billionaire cronies and supporters. He's got to pay back his debt to them, and he's going to keep that promise. Elizabeth Warren comes out of her little hole and said, Biden will go after the tax cheaters. Trump won't. Really? Where is your proof, Lizzie? And you know what? Let's take a look at your books. You know, I'm kind of wondering, you know, you, the little goody-two-shoe girl from Massachusetts, who apparently doesn't know her rear end from a hole in the ground, I'd like to see your books because,
No. The rules are for thee, not for me, Bill. That's how they figure.
The rules are for all of us.
Well, let me tell you, No. If you're a senator or a congressman, they pass bills that affect our lives every day that they're excluded from. Trust me.
You know what Trump wants to do? Now, I don't know if the number is right, but, you know, I think we're somewhere at a 28% or something like that tax bracket or higher for the average person. I think he wants to go to a flat, and I heard the number 17, but that means low, middle, high, super high. It's all the same rate. That was something Reagan wanted to do at the time they talked about it. And, you know, back in the day when they talked about 5%, it would have worked. But now, he keeps talking about all the debt he's canceled, but go look at the national debt now and when Trump was in, you know, and now it did go up with Trump. But again, remember, we had Democrats that were pulling strings.
We had a pandemic, too.
And they still
too.
Pull huh?
We had a pandemic,
and the pandemic
too.
And you know what? Things were great before pandemic because They just shot through the roof, and then the pandemic stopped it. And everyone's saying the runaway inflation is because Biden's done so well. Maybe things were doing so well beforehand, and now that the pandemic's over, all of a sudden the valve opened back up. But his procedures have allowed, because Yellen sat there and said, we've got to control inflation and all of this. We'll raise the rates. Well, we got a runaway economy. We can't lower the rates now. It's just never going to. We're never going to have a soft landing or hard landing. It's just the sky's the limit.
Okay,
so the sky's the limit on their spending.
What we talked about today, does President Trump deserve the Secret Service protection anymore, or should we follow the lead of one weasel named Benny Thompson who wants to remove Secret Service protection to President Trump? Okay, so he's actually fighting for that in Congress right now. Put him out on the street with no protection. Do we have any kind of legal system in New York that is going to give us justice, or is it a kangaroo court? And is Trump a Trump conviction a fait accompli, meaning a done deal? It's going to happen. What do you think? I think he's going to be found guilty of something because they've already predetermined we've got to fix a stacked deck.
I think he's going to be found guilty of something, even though they'll say, this has got to be appealed because it is not a legal thing. But so many things that aren't legal have been used against him. And to the question of whether or not they're going to take away the Secret Service protection, I think the screamers of the left will go, yeah, let's do it. Come on, they're a hinch mob. So they're going to say, yeah. And the Democrats, the Congress, the Democrat left will go, yeah, we'll go for it. We got rhinos, so there'll be enough that'll say, yep, they got it by majority. It goes to the Senate. Well, who controls the Senate? Well, yeah, and, you know, it's the left. And then Joe will say, yep.
Our society, when you appeal a conviction and you're found innocent, people still remember that you were convicted and forget that you were ultimately found innocent. People like to remember the fact that you were found guilty at some point. They really do. It's like they have short memories. You may go to the appeals version of the court and win on appeal, but, was convicted at one point.
The appeal is like an expungement. Yeah, you know what? It wasn't right. We got to take it away. But there is a little mark or a scar that's left there. It's like...
You're going to have people like Stephen Colbert, okay, and Jimmy Kimmel, who every night are going to say over and over again about how they've got him locked up in prison,
you know,
and he has an orange jumpsuit on, and they'll show these funny memes and pictures on television. They will do everything in their power to criticize and minimize Donald Trump and make him become irrelevant. They will work their tails off to crucify this guy. I don't know whether it'll
work. You can talk about somebody in the news. You can talk about a celebrity in the news. But, you know, when somebody is out there in, a public figure is out there, public figure. Everybody in Washington has a after SAG account. They're just automatically an actor because they do things on the news. They might be asked to do a role in something, and they might be asked to appear in court. Or the January 6th committee was on TV. Well, Lizzie Cheney and everything that she did, she's got a SAG after account. She got money for that. Is Trump being paid for, you know, everything? They go, the Trump trial live stream on your cable channel here. You know, I bet you he's not getting a dime. They won't let him get a dime, you know, but they're using him because people are focused on him. They have been focused on him before he ran for politics. He had an opinion. He ran for president, for the presidency, and won. They didn't want him to run on the Republican side, but he did, and he won, and they didn't like that. They were attacking before. They have attacked since. A lot of the stuff, all the hate has been traced back to Hillary and Obama, and yet we keep going with that. But, you know, they're profiting off this guy.
You know, this just came in. The FISA bill has passed the Senate today. I'm looking at the list.
You're under the microscope.
I'm looking at the list. It's going to Biden now. He'll rubber stamp it. And that illegal, spying on American citizens, mm-hmm. FISA court will continue. But I'm looking at some of the Republicans that voted for it. Guys like Tom Barrasso of Wyoming. That's a surprise. I'm looking at, don't go away. There's a whole bunch. Of course, there's Mitt Romney, who voted for it. Marco Rubio from Florida voted for it. Thune from South Dakota voted for it. Tom Tillis, the Republican from North Carolina, voted for it. James Lankford of Oklahoma, the rhino, the guy who has proven himself over and over again recently to be a rhino, voted for it. Now, I don't understand the justification for this. It's supposed to be the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, okay? Meaning that you're supposed to be able to surveil foreign actors, people overseas. But it means that they end up spying on Americans right here on our soil. And they use the FISA court and the FISA Act to do so. I don't know. Hey,
you know, a little interesting tidbit here. You know, you've got somebody that's pro-Hamas in Congress. What's her name? Rashida Tlaib. All right? Mm-hmm. Well, what's she doing in Congress? Now, it's interesting that, there's certain parts of the Ukraine where there's, I forget the word, but it's a word I've heard before. But Marjorie Taylor Greene used it in a bill that she wrote. And the left, somebody from the left came screaming out, well, for her to conjure up that word, that means, and now this came out over the weekend or the start of the weekend, that the left is pushing now that Marjorie is a Soviet Union agent.
Let me tell you, it's the easiest thing in the world to do nowadays. You don't like somebody, you want to try to sully them and label them without having to have any proof. You just call them a Russian agent. That's all. Say it's a Russian agent. Believe me, if Trump gets into office, I give him one day, maybe maximum, before they say it was a Russian scheme to get him into office.
Oh, no. The day of the election, if the numbers are going the wrong way for the Democrats, they will sit there and say, well, we're going to have to call the election right now and halt it because there was Russian interference. They're even posting the stuff for that now. And it was funny because the person that posted it had a friend. And I said, let me go and look at this person's postings. And then this person's. And all of a sudden, it came back, all going back to the Ukraine and Kyiv and all of this stuff. And then I saw the person with the manifesto and everything that they're showing, like in, pictures of somebody going, okay, here's what we're doing, where they've got their agents, so to speak, making little drones and all the families and all this. But I was going like, okay, now I see here through this little rabbit hole, the other side. And the other side is a very deep, dark, nefarious thing that is going on. And it is centered over in, you know, across the ocean, and it controls the left. And
by the way, you know, that guy who set himself on fire yesterday in New York, across in the park, he died this morning in the hospital.
I hate to say it, you know, God rest his soul, but that's probably the best thing that happened. But
Bill, I saw him on fire, and like I said, he was burned from the tip of his head to his feet, to a point where his muscles were twitching involuntarily. So, you know, the damage was just extensive. And to think that they kept him alive for almost 24 hours is kind of a major accomplishment. But
I would venture to say that while he was in that state and they're keeping him alive, at a certain point of pain, having been through it before, and I'm speaking from truth, is that your mind will sever that because you cannot tolerate it. And that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into detail. Well, so I'm going to think that that guy, unless...
I don't know what was going through his mind. It was not normal. And God rest his soul. May he be at peace. And God have mercy on him for doing what he did. I some people believe that that kind of an act is sinful. You're taking a gift from God and just discarding it. But I also think that it's not a rational act, and it not being a rational act, the person can't be held,
God rest his soul and forgive him is an appropriate thing to say, because no matter what led him to that point, when he set himself on fire, he did feel that pain for a certain point. Everything that he did went through his brain that he thought about, and he, at some point in time, realized,
Bill, who was a civil engineer in Rhode Island, and he told me there's this very big bridge called the Mount Hope Bridge between Bristol, Rhode Island, and Portsmouth, Rhode Island. It's a big bridge. And it was built back in the late 20s. And he said his job was to maintain it as a civil engineer, make sure it was kept structurally sound. And there were some houses that were at the foot of the bridge where people, private homes, people lived in them. And he remembers talking to some of the people who owned those homes. And one of the guys said, you know, I've seen people jump off that bridge. And the damnedest thing, he says, is almost every one of them, they will make that first step. And then midair, you hear them saying, because it's a long enough drop, no. They change their mind mid-fall, you know? And that's
because there's a doorway in your mind that's opening up near death. And I'll just leave it at that. That's why I'm saying that guy, when he did it, I mean, he knew what lies ahead. And so, and then I'll just say this, you know, God is forgiving and he doesn't look back at your past at that point. So if you say, because there's a story out, the most atheist states in the United States, and pretty much it's in the Northeast, but you know, I don't believe in God. Well, let me ask you a question here. Do you like to, do you bet on the lottery? Do you like to take chances? You know, you don't believe in God, but maybe you ought to entertain the idea, because this guy, at least he might have had some last-minute thoughts to rethink his life and make a decision. But what happens if you hit a point of sudden death and you don't get that chance, and then all of a sudden, oh, did I make a mistake? An eternal mistake. Now, I'm not sitting here to preach, but I'm just saying,
we could go on. You're right. We could go on and on. I just looked at the clock. This is the longest show we've ever done.
We could go another. I haven't even touched the notepad.
Well, fortunately, with the grace of God, and I say that word intentionally, with the grace of God, we'll be back again on Monday, and we'll do it again, and probably have a ton of stuff that we can't even imagine right now, because that's how our news cycle is. I hope all of you have a wonderful weekend, what's left of it. Hopefully it'll be sunny with blue skies wherever you are, and the weather's
blue skies.
Temperatures. Yeah, and hopefully Bill will not be singing near you.
Wait a minute, Jim.
Oh, he'll be playing
the drums for you.
There he is. Again, if you want to contact us, our contact information, all of it, is found on our website, which is www.itsanotherday.com or www.jimandbill. That's JIMANDBILL. You got to spell everything out. .com. Okay. And with that, I think you can wind this sucker up. We're done.
I'm going to wind up for the pitch. Yes, I will. Hasta la vista, baby. Hey, we're out of here.
This is CRN America.